You know what we didn't talk about on the show at all?
What?
That we both saw Megalopolis.
Oh, yeah. You know what else we didn't talk about?
What?
I think last episode was episode 69.
Last episode was episode 69.
A real big missed opportunity on yeah. our part.
I remember when we hit episode 30 and I was like, man, that felt like nothing. When we hit 60 a few weeks ago, that also felt like nothing.
Yeah.
So, like, this is episode 70. We are only 30 episodes away from episode 100.
That's crazy.
I know. It's fucking wild.
I don't even know what to think about that.
No, neither do I. I will say, we're going to have a really fun January and February.
Oh, yeah.
Because I go on tour from, and it's like the other tour we're doing got like soft announced the other day. So,
I saw, yeah.
Yeah, pretty funny.
I was like, is that happening?
Yeah, it is.
And it's the guy saying it. So
yeah, like, I mean, at this point, yeah, I just got to wonder if it's like where it's going and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see people giving a shit for it or something? Or
no, I mean, I saw like, yeah, like I saw people like excited about it and like also mild confusion as to that being the vehicle with which it was announced.
Yeah,
like just like,
I mean, like
yeah, we're going on tour with such and such of the Kalisdale Boys. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, like I mean, I thought it was kind of cool.
Oh yeah,
I respect him for it massively because like it was all everyone was talking about for a day, and I was like, oh, well, this is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gone from February 26th to April 28th.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You want to know something funny?
What?
I'm also going on tour in January.
Fuck.
I don't think I'm going for that long. I completely forgot it was happening until last practice. And
oh,
they
word.
Were like, yeah, okay. We're going on tour. And I was like, oh, shit.
With somebody or just by yourself?
I think with someone. I don't even know who it is.
Word. Awesome.
I for some reason, I like completely memory hold this.
Yeah.
So like,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah. I need a refresher on what is happening next year.
The other night, when we were Protest the Euro was playing in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And like we all went and hung out and shit, and Rhodey from Protest the Hero kept calling Silverstein the Stein. He was like, he's like, dude, I can't believe you're going out with the Stein.
Oh,
I was like, what the fuck are you saying?
You're going out with the Stein.
He's
dude.
Like, yeah, the Stein. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Awesome, the Stein.
The Stein. Yeah, no video this week.
Yeah.
What did you think of Megalopolis?
Before that, there's no video this week because I don't know where the camera is, and
pretty
I don't
want
to shoot it all on my phone because I already have some trouble resyncing the audio with the camera video because for some reason it desyncs even though I'm recording both at 48. So if anyone knows any solutions to that, that would be great. I know you don't know what gear we're using or what camera I'm using, and I'm not going to tell you. You are having some difficulty with that
Shut
mic
up.
There.
I couldn't get it to stand still, and I don't think anything's... The only thing worse than having to hold a microphone is having a microphone stand that won't stop slipping downwards. It had to be fixed, Austin. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but yeah. No video. Video will be back next week. I've had a hell of a week. I've just been running around everywhere, and I guess my camera is missing.
Yep.
So at least it was a webcam and not like an actual
camera. It looks
like
a cheap little guy, so
yeah,
not
too big of a loss, I don't think.
Yeah, I'll put that W9 into Patreon and we can
so
call
true.
It an expense.
I think it's at
it.
My apartment. I don't know how it would have gotten there, but I'm like, that's the only place I can think of that it would be.
Interesting.
Cause it's not here.
And you don't use it for fork knife.
I do sometimes.
Okay.
But like last I remember it wasn't plugged in.
Oh.
Unless it is and I'm stupid.
Very strange.
It could be just on the floor.
Could be.
Could be. But yes, we both saw Megalopolis. Let me tell you, one of the most insane movies I've ever seen in my whole life. And I feel like people hear that and they get the impression that like shit is blowing up all the time and like there's like crazy wild shit
happening.
It's
somehow wilder than that.
But it the wildness comes from just like the series of events that you're shown and the manner in which that they are shown.
Yeah.
And
what was your first tip off that it was not going to be a normal movie? Because I have mine.
I think the very opening, when it opened with like a static JPEG of a wall with carvings in it that were like espousing some like philosophy, and then Lawrence Fishburne started narrating, and I was like, oh, okay. I know what's happening now.
See, it wasn't fully off the rails for me yet. When Adam Driver started reciting the to be or not to be monologue, I was like, oh no. I was like, what is this?
See, like going in, I knew it wasn't going to be a normal movie, but like, I don't think I was prepared for how not normal it was. And like, something about just the, like, for some reason, the JPEG of a stone wall with the stuff carved into it, which like there are a bunch of those that pop up in the movie.
Yeah, there's like four.
But like it kind of looked low res a little bit. And then like the title of the movie faded in on one of them. And I was like, this is what we're going with.
Yeah.
And then Adam Driver stops time in the very next scene. And I'm like, we're back. I think we're back.
Yeah, no. First of all, So go back to the club. It is like my favorite thing ever.
Unbelievable. maybe top five line readings of all time.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
He pulled it out of somewhere deep.
So go back to the club.
He's so, like, is good the word?
Yeah.
He's amazing in it. He's so committed to this strange ass character.
He completely gets what Coppola's going for.
Yeah.
There are only three people in the movie who do. And like those three people are Adam Driver, Aubrey Plaza, and Shia LaBeouf. And Adam Driver is like so locked in with what Coppola wants that he's just like pulling off every single thing conceivable.
Yeah.
And like, the performance on a like technical level, I guess, if you can apply that to a performance, is it's impressive.
Yeah, no, he's great.
But like the material,
he's so fun on screen.
Yeah, but it's the material he's being given is like so batshit insane that he also becomes batshit insane.
Yeah.
And then Aubrey Plaza is on the same wavelength in that she kind of like she knows what movie she's in. And just kind of has the best time of her life with it.
I love that she's named WoW Platinum.
Yeah. I feel like she read the script and saw
that. That's the most fun thing in the world.
Saw that her character was named WoW Platinum and was like, oh, word, yeah.
I will say,
character.
Like, for a 700-year-old man like Coppola to come up with this, and I know he's had this script for like 30 years or something like that.
40.
Mm-hmm. Regardless, to be operating at this level, pretty incredible.
Yeah, there definitely is some merit to the fact that he's so old and this movie is so insane. I should also clear up. I do not think Shia LaBeouf did a good job.
Really? I thought he was pretty good.
I think he was so locked in that he forgot where he was, where like Adam Driver was locked in on Coppola's vision and like he's on screen for most of the movie, so like it would be hard for him to get lost in it. LaBeouf is kind of, he's doing like a Shakespearean thing when pretty much nobody else is doing that, so he sticks out big style, like huge mode.
That didn't bother me as much. The people who are not locked in.
Let's
go through that. Dustin Hoffman.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
One of the worst performances in the entire movie, if not the worst.
Natalie Emmanuel is unfortunately not locked in.
But she's so pretty.
But she's so pretty.
So
I forgive her.
Yeah, I forgive you, Natalie Emmanuel. And if you would like to get a coffee sometime, discuss this film with me. The other person not locked in, John Voight.
I actually thought John Voight was pretty locked in.
Look at this boner I got.
That was awesome.
That's the only time I liked him, though.
Yeah.
That was the only time where I was like, oh, this is fun.
Look at this boner I got.
This boner I got. The tiny bow and arrow fucking killed me, dude. I was losing my mind. And it fires at the velocity of a pistol. I was amazed.
To their credit, that was apparently intentionally funny, which I'm very happy about.
Okay, so that is the other thing, is Coppola knows it's really funny.
For parts of it.
But I don't think it's unintentional parts that I laughed maybe harder at.
My brother kind of because my brother loved this movie, like unironically.
Your brother rocks for that.
He pointed out like an interesting angle.
I think I also like it.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
But like, I like it in the way that like, I'm not even gonna say like a car crash, like looking at a car crash on the freeway or something. I like it just as like a monument to cinema, basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the best way I can put it is that it is quite literally, I'll ballpark it at its 70 bad Coppola ideas.
Yeah.
70. I think there are 70 ideas in one truncated 2-hour, 20-minute movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was the other thing. The runtime didn't bother me at all.
It felt like fucking 5 hours to me.
Really? Because maybe it was because I was having such a good time. But like, well, you know what? Come to think of it, it did feel a lot longer.
It's like a little over 2 hours, and like bare minimum feels like three.
Yeah,
and like I was genuinely shocked that
because they're jamming again 70 bad ideas.
Yeah, let me just double check this one thing before I say this. Just so okay. I'm not talking out of my ass.
One of the intentional. I'll talk about this while you're doing that. One of the intentionally funny moments when he's going down on Aubrey Plaza and the alarm goes off in the building and she goes, mm-hmm. What's that? He goes, your pussy. That got me.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I was like, oh, okay. Like, maybe this movie does know what it is.
But yeah, I was genuinely shocked leaving the theater when I looked up the runtime of this movie and saw that it is half an hour shorter than Dune Part 2.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Which is nuts.
Lawrence Fishburne not locked in at all.
I
love him and he's terrible in it.
I can never be mad at Lawrence Fishburne.
I love him and he's awful in this fucking movie.
Yeah, he's I don't really know what to diagnose him with as far as what wrong he was doing. He was just he also isn't really given that much character wise. Like, he's just kind of
the narrator.
Driver. He's the narrator, but he's also driver. And
okay, so like, is he the driver? Cause he the driver slash narrator? Cause he's driving the plot. He's Adam Driver's driver.
Mm-hmm.
What's Adam Driver's character's name again? Caesar.
Caesar Catalina.
Catalina.
I'm surprised I
wow,
that.
Pulling out the first and last name of that character's. Crazy.
It's entirely like I could have seen a reality where the only character's name I remembered was Wow Platinum.
Yeah, same. Because
Wow.
John Voight is Crassus.
Sure.
I got nothing else.
Me neither.
I don't know who anyone else is. But yeah, all the like CGI that. Where it like looked like the society if meme.
Yeah.
All those parts, like they look pretty bad, mm-hmm. but pretty good at the same time.
I think just pretty bad, personally.
Really? Because I there's some kitsch to it of, like, this is what effects looked like 25 years ago, and I can't really hate it.
See, well, all the effects were done in the past couple years.
Like, oh, no, I know. I know when they were done, Dawson. But, like, you know, these are the effects of the movies I grew up on.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. It didn't look that bad to me.
My problem was, like, there's a lot of shitty green screens in this movie.
So many.
And
so many.
There's also a couple parts that actually look fantastic. Like that that sequence where Catalina is driving to his wife's apartment,
mm-hmm.
or like his wife's old apartment or whatever, and Natalie Emmanuel's following him, and like they pass by the statues or whatever, and like even the green screens in that scene, like all of that looks great, like genuinely, like an enchanting sequence.
It looks phenomenal.
And then
like when you stop to get the flowers and
yeah.
stuff like that. I think that looks great. Yeah.
Like
it's amazing that I remember so much of this movie.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, it's hard not to, cause just so much happens, but like that sequence happens and then they cut back to some other bullshit and like they show the magical material that yeah. Megalopolis is going to be made out of. And it just looks like a Bible Man visual effect,
mm-hmm.
which is like, I mean, when you remember that the VFX team and the art department quit midway through production, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But you know, as it stands, that's just kind of how it looks and the cards that were dealt as the movie going audience.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. To me, like, it can look bad if I'm still entertained.
Yeah.
Here's what it actually looks like. It looks like Coruscant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love those movies.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Coruscant's a good comparison.
It just looks like Coruscant the entire time.
I will say
they made an entire planet of silver of gray.
An entire planet of silver and gray and thought that it would look good on camera, and it fucking doesn't. Although the Darth Plagueis recounting scene, that's pretty cool.
Darth Plagueis?
When Palpatine is
in Revenge of the Sith.
My boy.
Yeah, that looks awesome, but that they're inside.
Let me tell you the tale of Darth Plagueis the Cum. You know?
Jango Fett wants to kill Padme, but he doesn't want to do it. So he hires a second bounty hunter to do it. She says, I don't want to do it. She gets a robot to do it.
No. You forgot. Count Dooku told Jango to do it first.
He doesn't want to do it.
He doesn't want to do it.
Jango Fett has to. He hires Jango Fett. Jango Fett says, I don't want to do it. And he gets, what's the name of the other bounty hunter?
I don't fucking know.
He gets another bounty hunter to do it. She says, I don't want to do it. She gets a robot to go all the way to Padme's house to kill her. And if you really want to be an asshole, he doesn't want to do it either. So he gets worms to do it. It's awesome that George Lucas thought nobody would think about that.
Well, the thing is, I didn't until I watched that Cosmonaut video. Yeah. I watched that and I was like, holy fuck, he's right.
If you really want to be an asshole, the robot doesn't want to do it either, so he gets worms to do it.
I was like, holy fuck, this is the most outsourced bounty hunting kill I've ever seen in my life, and it didn't even work.
It didn't even work. Everything got traced back to where it was supposed to.
And like, Anakin fucking jumped on the bed and slashed them in the air.
Just them getting together and be like, well, what about a robot that dispenses worms? seems like there's a lot of variables in which that could go wrong.
We could not fit a laser gun to this robot.
Yeah,
but
no.
We could put some worms in there.
We could have just remotely shot her through her window, and then it wouldn't have mattered if the...
Didn't that bounty hunter that sent the robot have a sniper?
Yeah. But
why'd
then,
she get the robot to do
exactly?
It?
But then she gets murked because she's like, she goes, "It was a bounty hunter called," and mm-hmm. Jango Fett kills her.
She turns all green and yucky because that's her true form.
I thought that she could just change between those two forms.
She was a changeling.
Right.
And that's the changeling's true form. Is that green yucky.
That yucky green woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You want to buy some death sticks?
You want to buy some death sticks?
You don't want to sell me.
I don't want to sell you death sticks.
You want to go home and rethink your life?
I
want to
go home and rethink my life.
Legitimately funny line. Legitimately very, very good line.
How long does that, force compulsion last? Do you think it actually...
I know it's not permanent. It's not like that X-Men thing where you can just touch someone and persuade them. There's some character in X-Men that can do that.
Do you think
there's a couple, now that I'm thinking about it. Jean Grey can do it.
Uh-huh.
There's one whose sole power is to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe Jubilee could also do it. I don't know, though.
Comics are wild, huh?
Dude, yeah. There's an arc in Astonishing X-Men where Jubilee is like just straight up the most powerful character.
Oh, awesome.
The bitch who can throw fireworks from her hands. They're like, you know what? She's God now, actually.
I hate it when I can throw fireworks from my hands and then I
become God, yeah.
Fuck.
I don't know if it's Astonishing or Uncanny. I don't remember, but...
I haven't read a book in 800 years.
I'm reading Cloud Atlas right now because I watched it. I thought it was so good.
I saw you gave it a 10.
Yeah. I like it more than The Matrix.
That's crazy.
And The Matrix is like my favorite movie. So I don't know where that leaves me.
Oh, man.
No, for real. Like, I mean, you know the kind of movies I like. Like, it's like half a mess, half not, but
weird
it all
shit.
Ties together at the end.
Yeah.
And there's like multiple timelines and stuff, like
mm-hmm.
multiple realities and that kind of thing. Like
Megalopolis.
by all accounts, that should be a movie that I like.
There's not enough.
Unfortunately, it goes off the
jumping
rails.
Around, I don't.
Not
think.
Enough timeline jumping around, and also not enough. Not enough, like. Smart lengthy monologues.
There's a couple. They're not smart.
They're
I
not
guess.
Smart. Yeah. See, I think Megalopolis is like a better movie if, well, it's obviously a better movie if Tarsem Singh makes it. Everything's a better movie if Tarsem Singh makes it. But
is that guy still making movies?
Yeah, he made one last year. I haven't seen it yet, but because The Fall is getting this big release right now, this big re-release right now, he's been doing like interviews for the first time in like 20 years.
Oh,
so,
wow.
We'll see where that leaves it. I'm so glad that more people are watching this movie now.
Yeah.
Cause I've been like banging this stump for like 3 years now. It's my favorite movie. So like I am,
I saw it in,
you need to rewatch it. Cause
I
you
do.
Gave my favorite movie a 2.5.
Yeah.
On Letterboxd, which really bums me out.
I mean,
so,
I watched
that
it when
five,
I was,
but
yeah, I watched it when I was 16.
Yeah.
And I was like, looks pretty. What else?
There's so much more to it.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm older now.
I know.
I'm 400 years old.
You're Coppola's age.
I haven't watched that movie since I was 16, and now I'm 400.
What was my point? Oh, I think Megalopolis is a better movie if Aronofsky makes it.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the thing with this movie's creation and like how fucking batshit it is because like Coppola, I mean, it's not uncommon for him to have just a difficult production, but I feel like with
way
I know, right? But like with something like Apocalypse Now, like that movie is, I mean, I would say that the Apocalypse Now and Megalopolis are kind of comparable, in that they're both like very, kind of cerebral, sort of surreal looks at different aspects of the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
One of them pulls it off way better than the other.
Which one?
Megalopolis. Yeah. Imagine. But like, I feel like with Apocalypse Now, there was at least like a thread that people could latch onto, like
yeah,
other people
sure.
that were working on the movie. It's like, oh, it's a war movie.
Yeah.
And it's like not one of those war movies that is like, oh, war is badass. It's like, oh, war sucks ass. But with this movie, I don't know what anyone working on the movie could have like latched onto to make any of it make any sense. Because like all of it is very clearly in the minds of Coppola and Driver and basically nobody else.
Yeah. Yeah. And Driver's been kind of guiding him through this, like, through the press tours and stuff. Like,
yeah.
The rollout, because it is probably his last movie.
Yeah.
Unless he's got one in the chamber ready to go, you know.
God, that'd be something.
I was really hoping a new Cronenberg would be out by the end of the year, but it's looking like next year.
Hmm.
I'm worried that that one's his last, because he's like...
He's pretty old.
Yeah, he's in his 70s.
And, didn't he... wasn't Infinity Pool his, or was that his son?
It was his son.
Hmm.
Who made one movie I like and another movie that I think is fucking awful, but I haven't seen Infinity Pool yet. Did you see it?
No.
Maybe we should watch it then.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I need to get up on my Cronenberg. Like
What have you seen?
I don't think I've seen any of them.
I watched a horrifying one this week that I had never seen before.
Which one?
Because his stuff pre The Fly, and I don't know if the one I watched is pre Videodrome. I watched Shivers.
Mm.
And it is like, you know how they every like 5 years they talk about a Blood Meridian adaptation?
Yeah.
Shivers, I was like, well, the only person that would be like comfortable, like fully comfortable with the material of Blood Meridian is Cronenberg.
Yeah.
After watching that, I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, don't watch it with a girl.
Wasn't planning on it.
Don't watch it with lights off.
Okay.
Maybe don't watch it at all. I don't know. There's so much sexual assault in it. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
I feel like Blood Meridian would probably make a really, like, probably a terrible movie.
Oh, well, I mean, eventually it's going to happen.
Probably. I mean,
and
like...
It's going to be... Can you imagine, like, J.J. Abrams directs?
There's no shot.
J.J. Abrams presents.
No shot he's anywhere near that one. I don't think he... I don't think he even produces that.
I'm saying someone like him. Like, we get Michael Bay's Blood Meridian. Who would be your pick for it, though?
I don't know, because, like, there's a lot of directors out right now making like just like horrifying stuff, but I don't know if any of them really like kind of even approach Blood Meridian and like just how pessimistic that shit is.
I got a sleeper pick for you.
Who?
Todd Field. Tar.
Maybe. I could kind of see it.
I think you could do it.
I think my mind first went to like Ari Aster.
Yeah, but he's never going to do anything adapted.
No.
He's never going to do that shit at all.
I think he's
going to continue to be a weird little freak.
Yeah, I think he's going to continue being a weird little freak, and then that'll be that. I think...
it's amazing, like, he's not in movie jail after Beau Is Afraid.
Dude, I like the goodwill off of Hereditary and Midsommar back-to-back is going to carry him for a while, I think.
Well, and also I think his new one's going to be pretty well-received.
Probably.
The one that's... I couldn't believe he was making a movie set in COVID. I was like, what? But then I like read the rest of the premise and I was like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, Cronenberg is, I feel like, the obvious pick for a Blood Meridian adaptation. At least if you want to think about any kind of director who would get anywhere near the ballpark of like an adaptation that does it justice.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's directors that I think are better at adaptation than like working with their own stuff. Like Denis Villeneuve is one of them. Cause like I've seen all of Villeneuve's feature length movies and like it gets, I watched all of them in order too. And like, he kind of starts off like doing original stuff or like, stuff that isn't strictly adapted from anything.
Yeah.
And like, it's pretty good. Like it's fine.
Yeah.
And then, Prisoners and Enemy happen in the same year and both of those are, adapted.
Goated.
And they're like, the jump in quality is insane.
Yeah.
I think he's only done adaptations since then.
How many times have you seen Prisoners?
Like 3 or 4, probably.
I think my most recent watch was my 3rd.
Mm.
If not my 4th. I don't really remember.
Great movie.
Fucking unbelievable.
Can you believe Dylan Minnette's in that movie?
Yeah, I did know that, because the last time I watched it, I made a note of that. I was
You're like
oh,
holy
shit.
Fuck, that guy's in Wallows.
I was like, whoa.
13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
He's a great actor. I mean,
he's phenomenal in that movie. He's great. I always forget that movie's almost 3 hours long.
Oh, yeah.
It's so goddamn long.
Mm-hmm.
So much misery.
Pretty easy to forget that it's that long. It just kind of...
Oh, because it's so good.
Just kind of locks you in this, like, miserable space, and you're like, fuck. Okay.
Does that movie make you cry at all?
I think I've gotten close watching that movie.
I the penultimate time I watched it, I got very close while he's driving to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That with the little girl in the backseat.
That sequence is fucking insane.
Oh, one of the most incredible things ever put on screen.
Yeah.
And this time it really, really got me. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit. Like,
fuck, I hope he gets there in time.
I know what happens, and I'm like, ah. We haven't introduced ourselves yet.
Oh, fuck. Hey, welcome back to This Ain't a Scene, It's a Podcast. I'm looking out as if the camera's there, but there's no camera.
Yeah, I keep
there.
Mugging to it. While you're talking, I keep looking at it.
We're Carson and Dawson, the he, him brothers, and this is our Fallout Boy podcast.
Yeah.
I did want to say another thing before we got to the Fallout Boy song, which is a Pax Am Day song, so it's not like we're going to be talking about it
talk
long
about
anyway.
It. You might as well throw this one in the garbage.
If you only listen to these episodes for Fallout Boy analysis, I got some bad news for you this episode.
I got bad news for you on the whole podcast.
God, so true. But the last movie that made me cry was The Wild Robot.
Oh, I need to go see it so bad.
Dude, it's so good.
Maddie told me that there was discourse about people going to see that movie.
There's not discourse. There's kids pulling the classic trick of buying a ticket for a PG movie and then going to see Terrifier.
Oh.
And like if anyone gives a shit about that, kill yourself.
Yeah.
Like that is so not worth getting
Did
worked
you ever
up
do
about.
It?
No, I think I just because like I couldn't drive myself until I don't think I got my license until I was like 16 or 17 or something. And like I think if I just wanted to go see a movie, like I've never been carded going to a movie. Like obviously
That's
I
fair.
Don't now.
Yeah.
But like most of the time you just buy them online and then like nobody cares.
Yeah.
You just go to Fandango.
Yeah, true. I think I did it with, this is such a lame movie to do it with, but I did it with The World's End.
Oh.
The Simon Pegg movie. Like, I was the one that couldn't get into it. And like I didn't think they would card me. And like, I was like one for World's End at 6:30 or whatever. And they're like, do you have your ID on you? And I was like, yeah, I'm 16. And they're like, okay, well, we can't let you into that, but we can let you into this
yeah
at 6:20. And I was like, oh, got it. So they totally helped me out with that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it was like a sports biopic or something like that. I was like,
cool. You know, if this was like I don't know, 3 years ago, I probably could have told you exactly which one it was.
The Kurt Warner one?
Yeah, maybe.
With Zachary Levi?
Zachary Levi is in a sports biopic?
Yeah, he plays Kurt Warner. That movie's not bad either. It's called American Underdog, I think.
Oh.
I think that movie's okay.
Well, you did see it at 6:20.
Well, no, this was years and years ago.
Damn.
I haven't been 16 in 11 years, Dawson.
He's kind of chunky in this movie.
Yeah, he is.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He's playing Kurt Warner, who was chunky.
Wait, what are you talking about? This movie came out in 2021.
I know. That wasn't the one.
What are you talking about?
You said if this was 3 years ago, I would know which biopic it was, and I said the Kurt Warner one.
I would know which biopic it was that they said you could buy a ticket.
3 years ago, yeah.
That you could buy a ticket to back in... When World's End came out.
No, that part I understood.
So, what's this damn Zachary Levi movie doing here?
You said.
If I was 3 years younger with my movie at trivia knowledge.
Oh, okay. I see what you're getting at. I thought you were saying if this was 3 years ago, I could tell you which movie it was. And I was like. Okay, well, maybe he's talking about... And it turns out I was right. That was exactly 3 years ago.
2013 sports biopics. It was 42 out? The
Jackie Robinson one?
Yeah.
Maybe?
42. Yeah, that was 2013.
Okay.
Entirely possible that's what it was.
It's entirely possible that I bought a ticket for 42. And that's great, because no one else did. But you like Wild Robot?
Oh, yeah. I loved it. Yeah. I cried two times.
I really want to go see it.
Yeah. I didn't really even expect to. And then, like, there's this one scene towards the middle of the movie where I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. I'm going to fucking cry.
I'm going to yarts, dude.
I'm going to yarts, dude. What the fuck?
All right.
And then
well,
I yartsed.
And then you yartsed, yeah.
Yeah. Then yeah. I yartsed.
All right. Well. We should probably talk about this fucking song.
Sure. It's all right.
Yeah, this week we did We Were Doomed from the Start. Here's a snippet of it.
And it's over.
Oh, yo.
Hmm.
Not to talk about another song when we just launched into the song content.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard that new Jane Remover song?
No.
Magic, I Want You?
No, I haven't.
Holy shit. Can we just talk about that one?
I've
Here's a snippet of that. And it's still going because it's such a good song.
Wow. I'll have to listen to it.
I love it. And like, I did not really like Census Designated that much.
I thought it was pretty good. It didn't hit me like, because like that and the Underscores album came out like pretty close to each other.
Like weeks apart. Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't hit me like Wall Socket did.
Yeah. Wall Socket's way better, but it's like amazing how good Wall Socket is.
Yeah.
It's got a Wall Socket has like a legendary first five tracks.
Yeah.
And then it falls off a little bit. But
and then it comes back.
And then it comes back. Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Underscores if you're listening to this, which you probably are not. Come on the pod.
Maybe she is. It's possible.
She could be.
She's a
she's pretty internet pilled, it seems.
Yeah, she likes Professor Sky.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
And we're like his sons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His stupider sons.
I don't know. He says some pretty stupid shit from time to time.
He does, like, stupid things that he says are usually, like, dumbass opinions, and then
sure.
He backs them up very well. I'm like, fuck, I can't even disagree with you that much on this.
He had analysis of Tyler, the Creator's new song. Mere hours after it came out today. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
That he's on it, man.
He was ready to go.
He's so excited about this.
I know. I'm pretty excited too.
I love
the art direction for it. Mm-hmm. I love Igor. I think it's the best Tyler album.
I'm basic. So. I think Flower Boy is the best one.
I think Flower Boy's amazing, but I think Igor hit me at the right time.
Yeah.
And also, like, Igor was kind of a surprise release, right?
He's like, kind of been doing the same thing for the past three rollouts. Like, Igor's theme, he teased Igor's theme, and then Earthquake dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a week later, Igor was out. And same thing with Call Me If You Get Lost.
And now, same thing with this one.
Yeah, like, Lumberjack came out, and then, like, a week and a half later, Call Me If You Get Lost. And now, this
one.
Do you
want to know something?
What?
I still haven't listened to Call Me If You Get Lost.
Dude, it's so good.
I just missed it.
What the hell?
Like, the week that I would have listened to it was the week it came out, and then I didn't have a pair of headphones at the time or something, or maybe.
Dude, the production is so good.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Like, I listened to part of it earlier today because I listened to Flower Boy, and then I started on that one. And, as the second track came on, I was like, this shit is, I mean, I know people talk about JPEG Mafia as, like, the best, like, self-sustaining rapper, mm-hmm. but, like, I think Tyler deserves
up
to be
there
in the conversation.
Sure. Is he playing with a live band again or no?
I don't know. He hasn't done, like, shows recently, I don't think, because he's been preparing for this album.
Flognaw's in a few weeks.
Yeah, so I guess we'll find out at Flognaw.
Yeah. That's, like, pound for pound, like, as far as, like, the smaller festivals go.
Probably the best one.
Flognaw's 100% the best one.
Yeah.
Because I went 2019. Mm. It was awesome.
They got Matt Champion at this new one.
Ugh.
What do you mean, ugh? His album was good.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah.
Okay, word.
It was a good album. Yeah. He's very, very eclectic.
Interesting.
He's a lot of places.
I just have no desire to listen to a Matt Champion solo record.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. He barely raps on it. Like, he's mostly singing.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's a great singer.
I rock with that.
Yeah. I think you would like it.
All right.
There's a Dijon feature on it.
I did know about that.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah. I just want another Dijon album.
Yeah.
I would really like another Dijon album. Anyway, what do you think of this Fall Out Boy song?
It's all right.
Yeah, the only part that I really like is the part at the beginning where she says, I don't know, Fall Out Boy.
How about Fall Out Boy? Like, awesome. You know, not a
I
bad intro
cool.
to your little EP.
Yeah, I just don't think these songs are particularly good.
No. Was that one that we liked? Was that Eternal Summer?
No,
that was Hot to the Touch, Cold on the Inside.
Hot to the Touch, Cold on the Inside is a great song.
Yeah, great song.
This, I was like, okay.
It's fine.
Nothing's really sticking with me.
I don't dislike this song at all, but I don't really like it either. It's, it's got an okay riff. The chorus is, like, kind of
surf rocky for me.
Pretty surf rock, and, like, we've talked about this a bunch with these Pac-Sam Day songs, but the production is ass.
Yeah.
And I know it's on purpose, but it's still ass.
That doesn't make it okay, though, you know?
Not in this case. Sometimes it's okay, but other times it's definitely not, and I don't know. These songs just need some more punch, and that punch is just not there.
Yeah.
I'm
not huge on this at all.
No, there's not really any lyrics I'm latching on to. It's just kind of, he does say, I just want to paint the walls white.
Yeah.
Just want to come and come and come everywhere.
It's awesome.
That's awesome. I like that one.
I did get far enough into the Jordy Grieve album for him to go, and you've got a bigger dick than any man I've ever seen.
That's the first
and
song.
And you can come.
And you can come harder than any horse or something.
Yeah. I know it's the first song. I just saying that's how far I got into it before I was like, I should listen to B-Ma again.
God, it's such a fantastic record.
You're right. B-Ma is a great song.
Here's
a snippet of that.
I'm gonna have so many fucking snippets to put.
You
in
will
this
have
one.
Three. It's fine.
Unless a fourth one comes up. But
Blocklist by RXK Nephew, another song I love listening to.
Yeah, I think you should listen to that Greep album.
I'll block you on an Android. I don't even have an Android. I'll buy an Android and block you on it. Okay, I will.
Yeah,
because I loved the single. I thought Holy Holy was like...
Holy Holy might be one of my songs of the year, and I don't even think it's the best song on the record.
It might be the song of the year for me.
I don't even think it's the best song on the record.
Oh,
I think As If Waltz and the Magician probably have a beat.
Okay. Gotcha.
And even that fucking Motorbike as well. God damn.
I'm excited to listen to it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I
think it's really funny that there was like a short-lived discourse about the lyrical content of Holy Holy and people going like, wow, Jordy Greep's an asshole. And it's like, did you listen to the second half of the song?
Also, like, do we have no critical thinking nowadays?
No.
Do you not for 1 second think he's playing a character?
Some people really didn't. Some people were like, wow, I can't believe he actually did this and thinks like this. It's like, have you listened to music before, buddy?
Yeah, no, I hate that. There's a Pup song on their first album where he was like, it was like from the perspective of a husband who's like going to kill his wife.
Yeah.
People hated Pup for that one. And they're like, do you think we're serious? Like, do you think I'm going to kill my wife?
It's so crazy. Like the kind of like the art of like playing a character and that illuminating that character in a negative light in the song is kind of dying, I think.
I hope so.
I don't hope so, because like
Greep
does it really well.
No, sorry. I didn't hear what you said. Say that again.
The art of writing a song from the perspective of a bad person.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That song being a denouncement of that person's actions is dying, because I feel like people are not willing to think about it more than like 2 seconds. And like in we've had a lot of popular music that's just like, this is exactly what I'm thinking at any point. And like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. However, Greep did an interview with Fantano the other day, and one of the things he said was like, one of the like points that he made was like, you can like just say that a behavior is bad and that's fine and good, but like, I find it a lot more interesting to display that behavior and that be the showcase of why it's bad, rather than just like, this is bad, because like it like, and he's right, because I think if you're able to like dive into the psyche of that kind of person, like for instance Holy Holy is about a guy hiring a prostitute to make himself look cooler and they don't even fuck.
It's not even that bad either.
No.
Like, it's not a bad guy. That's a cool guy.
But it's like
a sick guy that I want to hang out with.
He's like a pathetic loser who's like paying this woman to act interested in him and crouch down to be shorter than him. And
as long as she's getting paid, why are we mad?
I know, but like... Yeah.
Come on, support sex work, everybody.
But like he I think what's really beautiful about that song is like, it starts out and like, it's the scenario playing out straight, basically.
Yeah.
Just like one of the lines is, do you know my name? Of course you know my name. Everyone does. It's true. And like that part of the song ends with, I'll bet your pussy is holy too. And it's like, damn, hold on. And then like this, there's
awesome
like an instrumental
line.
Break. Oh yeah, crazy. Then there's like an instrumental break, and then when Greep comes back, he's describing to this prostitute how he wants the night to go in every single interaction that has been previously described. Like there's an innocuous line in the first half where like he says like, the way you put your hand on my knee or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second half, there's a huge deal made about it where like the vocals behind him swell and like everything gets like angelic. And he says, I want you to put your hand on my knee. Will that be all right? And it's like, holy fuck, dude.
Yeah.
This is the most pathetic guy I've maybe ever heard of in my whole life. And then there's two songs that get more pathetic.
That's great. You have a bigger dick than any man.
And you have a bigger dick than any man who's ever lived. And you can come more than a horse.
He's fucking awesome.
He's
dude.
So sick.
So who in Black Midi is playing with him? Just the keyboardist?
Morgan sometimes. Like Morgan is on like three on like three songs.
That's good.
Yeah.
So only the bass player was the problem.
I don't even think it was that, because the way Jordy describes it, he had kind of been wanting to do a solo album for a while. Mm-hmm. Like this came together pretty quickly after Black Midi's dissolution, and like
I like it more than Black.
I do too. But like the reason that happened so quickly is because he'd been working on it for a couple years already.
Yeah.
And then like Black Midi was also happening, but then when Black Midi ended, he was like, I can just do this now.
It's cool. I mean, I'm gonna go see him when he pulls through.
Hell so yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. But Seth Evans, who's not like an official member of Black Midi, but he toured with them for years.
What's his nickname?
Shank.
Shank. Yeah, that's what.
And he's in HMLTD as well. I haven't listened. I just know that he's also in that.
Oh. Okay. Cool.
But yeah, Seth was like a producer for the whole record.
Oh, cool.
They were originally going to do like a collaborative record together, and then Greep just had more songs, so they did the Greep album. And the doors open for a collaborative record with the two of them. But the whole time, Seth was also a producer on the record.
That's cool.
Which is really cool.
And he's playing with him?
I think so. If not, like he's... I saw a performance where he came out to sing Motorbike, and that's the song where he takes lead vocals on that song.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a great job. He puts his whole Shankussy into it. It's crazy.
Shankussy.
Mm-hmm. What was I going to fucking say? It's entirely possible that Morgan is on those like three songs because they were also like they were Black Midi songs already. Like The Magician and Walk Up had been played in Black Midi concerts before. Before they were put on this record. I don't know, but Greep has been very interested in like working with a bunch of different session musicians. Like there's a few songs on the record that were recorded in Brazil with a bunch of Brazilian musicians.
Cool.
His whole thing is like getting the whole song done in one really good take, and then like maybe doing overdubs on top of it. But like that's part of what getting those professional session musicians in there I can't imagine being presented with a demo of a Jordy Greep song and then being like, all right, play this. I think I would kill myself. But
yeah, fuck that.
It's very interesting because like he's been taking a lot of inspiration specifically from like jazz greats and people who
Robert Fripp also,
like people who would compose these pieces and then have musicians play with them, and like their contribution to the record is how they play the part that he wrote. It's very interesting. Fantastic fucking record.
I'm excited to check it out, man.
Yeah, it's really great.
If I can get over Bima.
Which I don't ever see happening, honestly.
No.
You're probably never getting over Bima.
I'm probably going to do the same thing I did with unknown, well-known song. Unnamed, well-known song from movie. You know the one I'm talking about?
Not at all.
The song I sampled, the sample I cleared.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm going to do the same thing with Bima. Or at least I'm going to try to.
That would be so funny.
It'd be awesome.
Sample Bima on a record. I don't see why he wouldn't be down. He'd just be like, hey, can I sample this?
He seems pretty chill.
Yeah.
The guy who made peanut butter jelly time, he seems pretty chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did not die in a shootout.
Yeah.
Not that guy.
Spinning all these fibs about DJ Chipman dying in a
shootout. It
might
be a different guy. I don't know.
Are you sure it's not the guy that made a... I always feel like somebody's watching me.
I'm pretty sure I'm not thinking about that guy.
Because that guy was a big loser.
I do know that. I do I do remember that he made that song about being stalked, and then his next song was about being stalked, and then his next song was also about being stalked. And like people remember that song because
our
Michael
first
Jackson's
gang
stalked
pop star, yeah.
Oh, I love gang stalking.
I love being gang stalked. I love thinking I'm being gang stalked.
Yeah. I think it's really funny when people think that they're being gang stalked, because it's like, do you think you're that cool?
No, that's
that a bunch of people
want to
gang stalk.
It's pure
you.
Mental illness, but yeah. Isaac Brock from Modest Mouse thinks he's being gang stalked.
That's awesome.
Isn't that sick?
I mean, at least
he
he's
probably
in
is.
At least
too.
He's in Modest Mouse and has an excuse to think like that.
Yeah, right. I forgot that we have a collab snack.
Oh yeah.
I gotta go get it.
Should we save it for the next video episode we have?
Maybe. But also, I really want to try it. We should do it. We should do it. We made people wait. We delayed recording so many times.
Okay.
When were we supposed to record this episode? Friday?
I think Thursday.
It is Monday, people.
It is Monday.
And you're not going to get this till Tuesday. So I feel like we should give them the collapse.
All right, let's give them the
I mean, even if it's on video, they can't taste it also.
So true. I mean, they could look at it at least.
They could look at it, yeah. I'll return. Why don't you wax and wane on
I'm
on
just
going
to cut
subject.
This out. I'm going to cut to when you
no,
get back.
No, you're going to talk about your favorite animal. Okay. Oh, okay. I'll be right back.
My favorite animal is the big seal.
All right, Dawson.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Our collab snack this week.
What the fuck? You brought fucking ice cream.
Yes. This caught my eye in the grocery store. It's the Little Debbie and the freezer finally mending fences to bring us the oatmeal cream pie ice cream.
You brought cream pie ice cream?
I brought you cream pie. I brought cream pie to our show. Josie?
Josie is here as well.
Yes. Maybe I need to lead her out.
Probably. I think she's going to get too excited.
Okay. Well, hang on. Let me do that real quick.
Hi, Josie. All right. Well, I guess Josie's going to stay down here.
Josie's staying here.
Here's your spoon.
Okay.
If only we had the camera so Josie could be out of frame.
Good point. What is your opinion on oatmeal cream pies?
I think I've maybe had them one time in my whole life.
I love them.
You love cream pies?
I love cream pies.
Me too.
Hell yeah, dude. Come on. Let's go.
That's a pretty strong dap right there.
Yeah, it's a shame it wasn't on video.
Yeah.
Someone, fuck not that. Me. dug into this already. It was I swear to God it was not me. But we're gonna take a crack at this.
We're gonna share in a cream pie together.
Yeah, Dawson and I are gonna split a cream pie.
Mm-hmm. Let me get in on that cream pie.
A male cream pie.
Male on male cream. Very soft.
It is very soft.
That's fucking good.
That is so good.
That is damn good.
You know, I didn't expect this to be bad. I was like, there's no way that this ends up being bad, but...
It's pretty hard to fuck up ice cream.
This is so delicious.
It's so good. That's crazy. I'm all good, actually.
Okay. I'm going to take another bite and then put it back in the freezer.
Okay.
Wow. Really quick, unceremonious. collab snack segment.
Who knew when you combined two good desserts it would be really good?
Well, I thought it would be fun.
It was fun. You know, I got to enjoy a bite of some delicious ice cream.
That's right. How long have we been going?
Bit over an hour.
Let's rate this song, man.
5?
2.
2?
I feel nothing towards this song.
I feel like a 2 is indicative of, like, blind hatred.
Fine, then. Four.
Okay, that's... She hates that thing.
She
wow.
hates the maraca.
Stop shaking. You're getting her riled up. She was chill.
I know.
All right, well, I almost turned to the camera to roll out the carpet.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening, if you're mm-mm. still listening. If you're not, Josie will eat your head off. She's a very big dog.
New record for
not talking about the song.
About the song, yeah.
For sure. I mean, what is there to say? It's a Paxam Day song. And it's not a good one, so.
We said many times on this that you can expect us to barely discuss the song.
Yeah.
On those episodes, so.
Follow Carson and I's bands at the CalisDalBoys on Instagram, at CalisDalBoys on Twitter. Follow my band at Bummer Hill on Instagram, at Bummer Hill ATL on Twitter. Also on Blue Sky now, because Twitter's going down the drain. You see they're changing the block feature so that it doesn't fucking work.
Oh, really?
And that is against Apple's terms of service for being a social media. So if that goes into effect, it will probably get taken off the App Store. If you want to follow us there, cool. Follow the podcast at The Dreaded Wheel. Subscribe to the Patreon. $5 a month gets you an extra episode every week, where we talk about not Fall Out Boy, as we did in this episode.
Yeah. It's not much different from this one.
Let's spin this damn ass wheel and hi Josie and get out of here. Hi, sweet puppy. Little puppy dog.
Do you want to spin it?
Sure. Smacking you like a drum, puppy dog. You are so hollow. There's nothing in you. All right. Spinning that wheel. It's going.
Yeah, Josie's going. Josie's got jello bones for sure.
Oh,
Tiffany Blues.
Wow.
We're so back, chat.
We got saved, chat. It almost
right next to Centuries.
Yeah, and it almost landed on that. So, you know, we could have been suffering, but we're not. We're so back. Josie, yeah. Get out of there.
Josie, no.
All right. Bye-bye, chat. See you
bye.
Next week or Friday, I guess. I don't know when this is going up.